Paul has a terrible memory and identity issues. So should I fill in the blanks or just let them wonder?
Yeah, have fun.
Okay. All right. Gosh, some things very complimentary. Other things just, you know, I feel like my self-esteem just took a plummet there. It's fascinating. I've never had that, you know, that kind of experience. Thank you, Michael, already for setting me into some sort of unusual space here at CareNet. I am 60. I am married to one woman. It's been that way. And I have no children. We got married very late in life, relatively speaking. And so we were both, it was the first marriage for both of us, and so got married very late. And so I've been married 15 years now. And I was born and raised in California, the central part of California, in Fresno, California.
Kingsburg.
I know where Kingsburg is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went to Hoover High School in Fresno. We played Kingsburg and basketball and such there. Yeah. So I know that area very well, very, very well. And all my extended family, those from Oregon. I actually went to Willamette University for a year. My dad was a Willamette grad and was just up there. When was I there? A family reunion in August. And I'm going to be in Longview, Washington, you know, up from Portland, what is it? Next month. Yes. They kind of blend after a while. I'm going there sometime. I just talked with them yesterday. Anyway, so that kind of fills in a little bit of the biography that I care. I drive a 1999 Plymouth Grand Voyager. That's classy.
Comedy's been very good to you.
Oh, yeah. With a cassette player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's with me? Where are my people? Come on, who has a cassette in their car? Yeah, come on. All right, there you go. I don't think the cassette player works, but I'm not going to try it anymore because, you know, it just eats those tapes now. So, I as a kid, we went to a Baptist church. I went to a Presbyterian church.
Were they evangelical?
Yes, I think they were. I go to a Calvary Chapel affiliated church right now, just south of Franklin, Tennessee, which is just south of Nashville. And but I travel around. I work with all kinds of denominations, doing events and all that kind of thing. So it's fun. I have a great life. I get to meet a lot of very interesting folks and see a lot of different aspects of the body of Christ, and shake my head at many of them. Go, how about that? Normally, I don't have to walk over people slain in the spirit to do my sound check, but here I do. So, okay. All right. So, it's a wonderful thing, this body of Christ that we get to be a part of. Well, let's see what we're going to do here.
If you're going to teach, you got to be not on that microphone. Here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, use this. Use this.
Okay.
That's only for music. So.
All right.
Nobody on tape even heard that first part there. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good. That's probably for the best. All right. All right. Is that going to work all right? All right. Well, thank you. But I probably will grab my guitar from time to time, and we'll just kind of see what we put all this together. So Mike asked me to kind of cover the first thing here. Know your own mission. So if you want to have a card handy, the wonderful 3x5 cards. And I've got a little exercise for you. So everybody make sure you got a pen in hand and a card handy here. All right? In 30 seconds, I want you to, as best you can, it doesn't have to be exact, just as best you can, I want you to write down your center's mission statement. Ooh, I see the faces just, right. As best you can remember it or approximate it, write down your center's mission statement. Go. We have a mission statement?
Wow, harmony over here. That's nice.
It's a whole medley over here. It's just wonderful. Yeah. Requests like, stop, things like that.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5 and a half, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. All right, how'd you do? How'd you do? Who knows it, like, just flat out? Somebody that wrote it down. Come on, somebody must know it, like, come on, let me hear one. All right, back here.
Ours is long, so you got to give me 2 seconds.
Okay, all right.
Okay, acknowledging that every human life begins at conception and is worthy of protection, here that offers compassion, hope, and help to anyone considering abortion through our life-affirming network of pregnancy centers, organizations, and individuals.
What? All right. Let's give them, that's worthy of some applause right there. Man, very nice. All right.
But Tom's supposed to know it because Tom is a paid person.
Ah, a paid person. Okay. So you put in a little effort here, right? To, you know, okay. All right. Somebody else got pretty close to what they theirs is? Anybody? Anybody close? Okay, here we go. Putting compassion into action. That's what you remember, but there's more. But putting compassion into action, that's nice and zippy. I like that. All right? What else? Go ahead.
We are a non-denominational center where we love the baby, love the mother, and save the baby.
Love the mother and save the baby. Awesome. Beautiful. This is great. I'm loving this. Yeah. What else? Got somebody else? Just share. You know, again, we won't be graded here. It's just helpful to hear. You know, I think for all of us to hear what other people are thinking, what they're articulating, and because we're going to hopefully kind of work on some vision casting here today. Anybody else want to share? Gordon.
Provide loving alternatives to women who have found themselves in an unplanned or unwanted pregnancy.
All right. Say that again, Gordon. Yeah, and everything you hear today is very stealable to the glory of God. Okay, so you take this as it's a collective effort here. If we don't know our mission, we will never be able to share or sell it effectively. Right, I want to say that again. This is one of the takeaways I hope when my little section's done here. If we don't know our mission, we will never be able to share or sell it effectively. So what is your mission? What is your mission? Or actually it might be, what are your missions? Because we have several different hats that we wear. All of us that are involved in you know, as a board member, but you as directors, as the roles that you play, you know, there's the running of the center side, which has any number of aspects. There's the fundraising side, but really, all together, when we add it all up, what is our mission? What is your mission? Most of the time, our mission statements are designed for our donors. But you could actually have, you know, little mini mission statements on every aspect of what you do, and that might not be a bad thing to pursue. But today, in this section, we're going to concentrate on the more donor-directed mission statement. Now you may need multiple mission statements for different groups, but today, just basically, this is the "Who We Are" mission statement that we're talking about. I'm going to grab a guitar here and see what happens. Mike has supplied me with the smallest guitar known to man here, and I like it. All right, so this is probably going to pop. So talk to me on your guitar, dude. Oh, yeah. Do I need to push a button?
No, just play it through. All right.
You could have tuned it for me, man. All right, that's going to work. That'll work. Well, on this subject of you know, who are we? You know, it's interesting because do I need multiple mics here?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Yes. Oh gosh, is that what stereo works like? You know, God had a mission statement, and in the Old Testament, you know, He kind of communicated in different ways. You know, people wanted to know. I mean, there's a time where Moses, you know, takes a little walk out in the countryside, and he has an encounter. And you know, the Bible, you know, sometimes the Bible, it'll give incredible detail about certain events. And then other times it leaves just huge gaps in the narrative. And this is really where I come in. Helping God finish the Bible. Exactly. Yes. So there's this one time where Moses has taken a little walk in the countryside, and he comes back. And he must have had a conversation that went, you know, with his wife that went something like this. Honey, I have some news. We're going to be moving back to my boyhood home in Egypt, and there I will conquer the mighty Pharaoh, and we're going to all go start our own country. Where did you come up with this? I was talking to this bush. No, not just any bush. No, it was a burning bush, you know, always aflame but never consumed. This bush got a name? Well, not exactly. I am, and you're not. Said a burning bush to a man on that holy spot. Yes, I'm God. And you're not. And if you can keep that straight, that's a start. And I know, and you don't. You'll either follow me, you will. Oh, you won't, but I have what you need. So throw down what you've got and be free. All right, here's your part. It goes like this. Sing with me. Come on, choir. Ooh. All right, a little harmony out there. I think we got it. Come on. Yes, I am, and I was, and I will be forever. Oh, come follow me, because you can't, but I can. Set a burning bush, I set a burning bush,
there we go. All right.
So when it came to God coming up with an idea of basically, you know, who are you? He got very specific, to the point. I am. Now that's a short little wrap up to an identity thing. But who are you?
Who are you? Who is your center? Who are you? What do you do? I took the shuttle to the airport in Nashville today, and it was just me and one other guy, and he was a real gregarious kind of guy. And it's like, it's more than I've had like 3 hours sleep. I didn't drink coffee because I wanted to sleep on the plane, so I'm going, I'm sure a great representative for everything about life at that moment. And you just said, so where are you going? Well, I mentioned Orlando. Hey, what are you going to do there? And so I started describing the center, and then I started coming to life. You know, I started getting excited about, like, you know, I work for this board, and here's what we do, you know, and just it just invigorates you all over again. So who are you? What do you do? Can you give me some short statements? And if you want to copy anybody's statements or just keep track of these things, some of these can be fuel for what you're going to do as we go through this little time together. So what do you do? That's the usual guy question. What do you do? Who are you? What does your center do? Quick, short things. Yeah. Awesome. So anything. Quick things.
Free pregnancy tests.
Limited ultrasounds.
Closed on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Abortion recovery. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Anger management. Interesting. Wow.
No, we aren't.
And that's for the board. That's vicious board meetings going on there. Okay. No, what else? Parenting training. What are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? Save babies. Excellent.
Healthy families.
That's just huge. How many of you have a lot of work that you do just with families? It has nothing to do maybe with the life-saving moment, but everything to do with helping a family not only survive but thrive. How many of that's a big part of what you do? Yeah. Yeah. We have our center, we have two locations. And the further we go south from Nashville, it just gets more rural. It gets more just nitty gritty, just basic need kind of stuff. You know, women come in all the time. I'm pregnant. My boyfriend beat me up. I have three kids. Help me. You know, that's a whole thing. That's not just a baby being born and be warmed and filled. You know what I'm saying? And some of you, you know, you've got that kind of thing going on. Whereas our other center is a little more urban, definitely more just a richer county. And so that's the, you know, Christian girl that, oops, you know. But there's a support system that's there that's very, very different than the other. So we get to see that. But a lot of you are very involved, you know, people. And that's something that as I, you know, when this guy was just asking me, so what do you do? You know, or for me, it turned into what does your center do? You know, I got excited about that, and all of a sudden, you know, it just starts rolling. Well, we do this, we do that. You asked. Here we go. You better hope this is a short ride, dude. But you do many, many things. And so we need to, how do we take all these things that we can make long lists, you know, saving lives, pregnancy tests, helping families, and I mean just the number of ways you could help families. You know, sometimes it's helping with rent, sometimes it's finding a safe place, you know, physically for them to be, furniture, all the child and baby needs, all those things. So you can have those lists, keep those things in mind as we're going to kind of help focus on putting kind of tuning up some mission statements and things today. But so we need to know who we are or what we do. And then with that, we need to communicate it in a succinct manner. How many are familiar with an elevator pitch? Ever heard that term, elevator pitch, right? Zig Ziglar says, you know, everybody, every company, every product needs an elevator pitch. And this could be, you could have multiple things for the different areas of what you do, but you need to keep it short and sweet and on target for people to hear what you say. Right, in fact, we'll put these guys up. Mike, okay, we do something called Laugh for Life Comedy Night. Now, you've already described that. Now, can you give us a succinct thing? It's different from a banquet, not just a food kind of oriented fundraiser. Tell us what a Laugh for Life Comedy Night is.
If you only contact a donor one time a year, it seems kind of one-sided. All of a sudden, he becomes the fish, you become the fisherman. Great donors are friends. You've got to do some activities between your banquet that says, I love you, and give them a way to bring people into your organization in a non-threatening, oh, they're going to ask me to commit to $1,000 a month situation. That's what Laugh for Life was formed, to be that middle-of-the-year event to help you raise friends, because friends become your biggest donors.
All right. Gordon, can you top him? Please.
Yeah.
Bury him.
30
Laugh for Life comedy night.
30 years of banquets, we have the same 400 people show up every year. So we're looking to reach new donors, reach new people who don't know about our center, want them to become friends in what we call a friend-raising event. So we increase visibility of our center, we add to our donor base, and we make some money. And we have kind of a celebration night to help those who have been on this ride with us for 30 years as well.
I like your stuff.
All right. Now, you see, two guys, same organization, but each with their own style. So, you know, with their own rhythm, with a different, slightly different perspective. But it starts painting a picture like, I get. And that's just one thing. You can apply that very same principle there to many, many areas of what you do. We want to, rather than just ramble around, we want to try to get to the point. So we're going to focus specifically on your own, your mission statement. But this, the principles, I hope you see, can apply to many, many areas. You could break it into many, many parts. You could have use the same principles in the ways that you want to connect to a client. That's going to be a whole other phraseology than you might as you're approaching a donor. But we're going to be talking about the mission statement that's going towards the donor here. These days, less really is more. Attention spans shrinking radically. I mean, with Facebook and Twitter, and just the more I absorb information there, are you like me? If I see a commercial that's longer than like, you know, well, I can't get rid of the little thing in 3 or 4 seconds, I'm moving on. I have no patience. It's like, I'm not going to pause. I mean, my gosh, 15 seconds of my life, are you kidding me? You know, I grew up when there were 3 television stations. Right, you know, I mean, we didn't have the choice now that's just in everybody's hand. It's a whole different world, and people are clicking and moving, and we don't have time to ramble around. What Mike was talking about earlier of being intentional, we need to be precise in what we do if we want to really be have the greatest effect that God really is calling us to. All these things that you just articulated about this is who we are, don't we want to do that our very, very best? You know, then we need to just clean up our act a little bit, do things more intentional, a little bit smarter. And it's ongoing. I write songs, you know, for a living. This is part of what I do, you know. And man, we'll slave over words. We're just pitching the song to Lady Annabella. It's like, okay. So what was Lady Annabelle? What would they sing? We have to put ourselves in their shoes. Somebody in their organization is going to hear this demo that we're making. And if it's not what they would sing, we're wasting our time. We have to picture Hillary Scott going, yeah, yeah, I would sing that. That connects with me, the lead singer of Lady A. These guys, their harmonies fit right here. We have to write words that connect with them, or that song is not getting cut, because there's 10,000 other songwriters in Nashville trying to do the same thing. Okay, we're competing with Planned Parenthood and other noisy organizations out there. And so it's really important that we put all the effort we can into just, you know, zeroing in our message, cleaning up the edges a little bit. You know, we just don't have the patience. People don't have the patience these days. If we're going to be heard, we're going to have to say our piece clearly and quickly. Now, you all, I thought, were just, you know, in the different things we've heard here, there was a lot of good, clear things there. Now, how can we hone that and put it into bites that people can receive? There's great hearts in this room. And a lot of times, you know, your heart will carry a when you're face-to-face with somebody, but when we're putting communications down together, when we're writing and, you know, putting in other forums, we need to, we've really got to be precise with the words because they can't hear the tone or sincerity in our voice. All right? Let's look at the way some of the big boys do it. See if you can kind of name these products. The ultimate driving machine. Whose slogan is that? BMW. Just do it. Pictures just start splashing in your mind, do they not? Right? Leave the driving to us. There we go. Leave the driving to us. It's Greyhound, is it not?
Greyhound. Are they still in business?
In Tennessee, yes. Don't leave home without it. We try harder. Avis, yeah, good. Got milk? Just milk producers. There are some things money can't buy. For everything else, there's MasterCard. Yeah, somebody, all right. Think different. You know that one? Yeah, it's Apple. But they moved on from that one. The few, the proud. Yeah. Well, these are some of the things that, you know, the experts have honed their message down to the few words possible. So today we're going to do some exercises to try to help you play with some words today. And I want you to just play with it. There's not right and wrong. You need to, you know, put some ideas on paper. So get another card handy. We're going to dig into this. I'm going to speak some sample vision and mission statements of different centers. Here are some examples, and see what you think of these, because there's not right or wrong. Some are maybe more effective than others. Here's one. Save the life of a child. Transform an at-risk family to thriving. Bring healing to those who have been scarred by a past abortion. What do you think of that one? Strong? Weak? Any thoughts on that? How's it hit? I'll read it again. Save the life of a child. Transform an at-risk family to thriving. Bring healing to those who have been scarred by a past abortion. Like it? All right. What stands out to you? What do you like about it? The thriving. Yeah, so save, transform, bring healing, thriving. Yeah, there's some powerful words in there. Say again. It's concise. Yeah. All right. Okay. Here's one kind of along the same lines. Save the life of a child. Transform and educate at-risk parents. Do it again tomorrow. What do you think? You like that one? How does it strike you? Or what do you like about it? What seems strong or weak? I'll read again. Save the life of a child. Transform and educate at-risk parents. Do it again tomorrow. So that doesn't ring for you? Okay. Okay. All right. All right. Now I'm going to read you. This is our center's one. Now I've been wanting our center to rewrite theirs. We have not. But ours is. You'll judge it yourself here. To affirm the value of life by providing a network of care to those experiencing pregnancy-related crisis. And by compassionately presenting biblical truth, resulting in changed lives to the glory of God. Feels a little long, a little wordy, maybe. All right, let me read this again. To affirm the value of life by providing a network of care to those experiencing pregnancy-related crises, and by compassionately presenting biblical truth, resulting in changed lives to the glory of God. Feels a little dated. Yeah.
But you lost me, because the minute you get on a couple of, you know, the conceptual words that mean multiple things, my mind stopped and then you kept going and I didn't get the rest of it.
Right. You're working to try to, you're having to form the picture rather than the picture just presenting itself. Some of the weightier things of Paul's letters. I know what I don't do, and I do what I what. Yeah, you need a cup of coffee to read this one just a little bit, soak it all in there. So. Well, again, just like in songwriting, we're trying to you know, to pop pictures. If you really listen to the songs that hit the radio, they take you on a field trip. They make you feel. Usually, it's one emotion, one idea they want to ring home, and they just find ways to paint that. They put a movie in your mind. And so we're going to try to do that a little bit ourselves today. We're going to do a little exercise. So you got a 3x5 card. Do we have 3x5 cards out here, Mike?
I hope so. I think so. Okay.
And if the 3x5 card is cumbersome, you can do it in your notebooks or whatever you need to do here. But I'm going to challenge you to, some of you could barely recite or remember your mission statement, so this is going to be kind of interesting.
No, that's good.
Yeah. So you get the chance. For you, it'll be like a blank slate. But we are going to ask you to rewrite your mission statement. Now, understand nothing will be passed along to your board or anybody in your community that you have committed such heresy. What happens here stays here at CareNet. Okay, that's the way that we play this game. We want you to rewrite your mission statement. And here I'll give you a couple of suggestions. You know, you might think of, or there's the list of, the who we are or the what we do list. And then there's what's the best way to, put that into a tight format to communicate something. You already heard some of these other ones, save the life of a child, transform and educate at-risk parents, do it again tomorrow. Another one example we had, save the life of a child, transform an at-risk family to thriving, bring healing to those who have been scarred by a past abortion. You can steal any of those words that you like, create your own. So you might, if you want to sketch to the side some ideas and then, bring the things together. But what's really important? Now, it's interesting that those two things I just mentioned don't mention anything about God, Jesus. There's no spiritual thing. It's sort of implied in what they do. That may not be what you want to do. There's not right or wrong here. But so I'm just going to, just freewheel. Again, you will not be graded here. So we'll give you a few minutes to rewrite your mission statement. Brainstorm a list, refine it. And then once you've got some ideas, I'd like you to share them with a person or two around you. Just talking, hey, what did you get? And then you can take their ideas and say, oh, I wrote that. And you can put them on your own card. See, that's how this works. So go ahead and take a few minutes here. And then maybe once you get something kind of written out, we'll have you share. So do that one. We'll direct you with the sharing in just a second.
Timer's running here at feel free to work with your neighbor there.
Yeah, this can be a group effort if you so desire. You can look on each other's papers and peek over the table beside you. Yeah, so definitely, but please in, you know, interact if you get something sketched out. Find somebody to.
1:35 now.
Whisper your ideas to someone else. See what somebody else has, because this is, you know, we're just trying to learn here. Lunch. Those are good. All right, have we come up with absolute genius here? I want to hear what you folks have come up with, because I want to be able to go back to my board and go, I've got some ideas for a new mission statement. I heard them at our seminar. They even came from Alaska. Blow their minds a little bit. So who would read some or all of theirs? Who wants to start off? Here we go. Did he have skinny jeans on? Skinny jeans?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Little ponytail guy. Okay. I know him. Okay, excellent. All right. And again, all these are ideas. We just want to get them out there, because, you know, there's the just do it slogan, and then there's more words than that, and then there's more words than all that. But the thing that I want you to kind of think about here is, what can you say to somebody? That guy that was on the shuttle with me today, I don't know where he's coming from at all. He's just at, hey, where are you going? Why? And so he hasn't. He's not sizing me up. There's no religious connection. I don't want to say, well, you know, it's a denominational meeting of this. It's like words like denomination in what you're writing, you know, or any specific denomination reference, probably not going to be helpful.
Well, non-denominational is a denomination. You're non-denominational. You just said I'm Catholic or I'm Baptist. Okay, it's the same thing. So even though we all know that we mean that it's not, okay.
Yeah.
One group.
Right.
To the average person, you know, we're non-denominational. I have people ask me, what church you go to? Is it a non-denominational church? Okay. Which in itself makes it a denomination. When there's now groups.
Right. It's yes, affiliated non-denominational churches. Right. So we want to look for things that are going to reach out. They're going to draw people in, not divide. It's not that we're not being true to who we are. It's just not effective. Understand? Just, it's like Mike was talking earlier about just, you know, even just the very name of a center, you know, can be. So keep that in mind as you're listening and you're saying, yeah, here we go. All right. I want to hear this.
Rocking the world
one life at a time. You get the rocking. I have to explain this to everybody here. Okay. That's wonderful. I love that. That's nice. Rocky. That's great. All right. Anything? Somebody. Come on. I want to hear more.
Bringing home to the family by saving the lives of the baby while loving them all that time.
It's beautiful. Say it again.
Bringing home to the family by saving the lives of the baby while loving the mother and father.
Interesting. Now, do you still have, you had your other one, what your current one was?
Love the mother and save the babies in Christ, non-denominational.
Okay, yeah. So you can see it's already moving a better direction, a more inclusive direction. Okay, all right. Yes. Okay. All right. Who else? Ideas.
I just wrote down to offering hope to each individual or family by communicating God's love and plan for them, regardless of their situation. So, you know, I have to say, I'm just sitting here thinking, really what we're all doing is we're offering the solution. Because it's Jesus. You know, and I'm just sitting here thinking that I had a client one time that came in, and I told her what I tell most of the clients, which is we're here because we love you, and we want care for you and help support you in any way we can in your life. And she just looked at me and she said, but she's a part of the system, so she's getting, you know, her food stamps and or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking that everything that we're doing here and now, it has to be said in such a way that is communicated, that we are different than anything anybody's going to say or hear.
Right. So we want to design words that reflect that heart, but right. That without going, hey, we're really loving people, you know, that's not painting a picture of it. That's just telling about feelings. And you listen to songs, people don't tell you about their feelings. They show you. Don't tell me how you feel. Show me. I made it past the bedpost. And all those glancing at the memories on the wall. Take a breath and listen. Slip out toward the kitchen down the hall. You fill your cup, but you won't look my way. We didn't go, this isn't working. I don't feel good about my relationship. My feelings hurt. No, you paint a picture. How can we paint pictures with our words? Okay, I'm going to approach this a little bit different way. You're me this morning. You're on that shuttle. You got 30 seconds to tell the guy on the shuttle. It's like he just said, "Hey, what do you guys do at that thing that you work at?" You have no idea where he is. You don't know if he's a Christian, an atheist, a Satanist, a pastor, a Satanist pastor. No, no.
Reset from the tape.
All right, you don't know anything about him, but he's, you know, he's asking. He's curious. He's initiating. He's engaged. You aren't having to chase him down. "Hey, guess what I do?" All right. How would you answer his question? How quickly could you answer his question? Here's, you know, "Well, at such and such, we..." Can you write that down? Can you write some, or even just sketch a few phrases? I would say, you know, "We saved the life of a child." What did we do there? "We saved the life of children." We, maybe a few "we" statements, just like that, that you would say in a conversation, not, "Well, you know, in our denomination history and blah, blah." You know, he's not looking for a history lesson. He doesn't care about your church. He wants to know what you do. Because even an atheist could get excited about saving lives, healing families, helping people thrive, you know, healing the broken. People, you know, that's people give. If they can, you know, if you can paint the picture for them. Just sketch out just a few statements. What might you say if you were on that shuttle today? "Oh, you're going to that convention? Oh, really? What do they do there at fill in the blank of your center? What do they do there?" Write some sentences real fast. Don't overthink it. Okay, real quickly, because I'm going to have to wrap my time here. All right, somebody give me one of your phrases. Hey, what do they do at your center? What, give me something.
Free pregnancy tests.
Free pregnancy tests. What do they do there?
Material aid for your children.
Material aid for your children. Okay. What do they do there? Say that real loud for everybody. How does that hit you? That starts painting a picture for me. Does that resonate with you? We help women. You know, we don't help a cause. Right? You know, we are pro-life and God is too. You know what I mean? That's not saying, "Come join us." That's just like, "Are you one of us or not?" You know, it's not drawing somebody in. Read that again. I thought that was really good. Yeah. All right. I think there's some really good things here.
Can I have one?
Yeah.
So I'm sitting next to you, and I'm glad we're doing role play stuff. I wanted to do more of this here. And so you say, "What's this all about?" I say, "Paul, are you happy in your life?"
Yes.
"Are you thankful for life?" "I am too. You know what? Some of my life has sucked, but some of my life has been great. I love life. I'm glad I'm alive today. And I believe that every individual person has that right to enjoy life. And what we do is we try to make sure that every child gets a chance to come out of the womb and experience life. That's what we do."
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to drag him into the emotion of it too. Okay, I'm not saying I said the right words there, okay? Sometimes we say it a different way. But I'm putting him in the position where I'm saying, "Don't you agree with life?" I'm not saying, you know, "Aren't you glad you're pro-life?" No. "Aren't you glad you got life?" Set them up with that first. That way, I'm pushing the end response that life is important. He just said life is important. He agreed with me that sometimes it really stinks, but sometimes it's good. But either way, I'm glad I'm alive. And now I tell him what I do to drag him into the thing. And I want him to ask more questions. I want to say it in a way. I don't want to always answer every question.
Right, exactly. I think one of the most important things you can do, and you might want to write this down, is what can you say to someone to make them thirsty to hear more? This internet age, you can't dump the whole load. They find it offensive. They're moving away from you. What can you say? What can you concisely say? What picture can you give them? Just like Mike just said there, like, man, I'm drawing, wow. They get it. What can you say? And this is in your mission statement. This is in your conversations at Starbucks. You know, what do you do? Well, you know, and then what's even better, and I know we're going to get more into this, you know, if they then like, really tell me more about this, then tell them a story, not an idea, like for instance, last week, a girl came in and you just explained the situation. This is how we help them. They're won over. You don't have to quote stats or, you know, impress. Well, we have a very big building. We only have a little building. Where don't apologize. You know, somebody came in and this is what we did. You know, no rent money, no furniture. We got the community together and gave them furniture and set their family up. They would have been on the streets. That's what we do. Oh, how do I get involved? See, it's the natural thing. So if you don't dump the whole load at first, you might actually have a conversation. And then you get to share the deeper story. Somebody else had something over here. Yeah.
Our director was looking for donors for a banquet. She went to a doctor, and she said that there is a pregnancy center that we call Save Babies or something that doctors said, I don't believe in that. So it was like she had to go, instead of making it the first, she had to go through the back door.
Mm. Yeah. In fact, I think in some of my conversations, it's almost easier to focus on helping a mother to be as opposed to saving the child. You know, it's just so, where do you, you know, it's just one of these things. It's like, you don't want to ever, hey, what do you think about abortion? That's not going to connect. But what would you think about a mother in this? We help them. We help somebody at their most vulnerable, and then they can lead to that. They can give them the bigger picture. Yeah. Absolutely.
Amen.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Exactly. That's great. I love that. Yeah. 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 Absolutely.
You know, the Knights of Columbus wanted to put up a sign for our pregnancy center. When I went to look at the sign, it had pro-life. It had nothing about our center. Hmm.
Right. It's not a cause. You know, it's not a political organization. You know, all those kind of communications,
so
really important.
I was sharing with her. I was a team pregnant. ago. I wanted to have an abortion, and I called my father, and my father told me he did not abort me, and my stepfather told me that we would make it through this, you know. And that, that's what changed my whole view of having an abortion. Because those two men that were important to me told me.
Yeah, we're here with you. We will walk through this with you. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got to wrap this up here. No, you're fine. So just you know, bring it back to, you know, if we don't know our mission, we will never be able to share or sell it effectively. And that's an ongoing process of just knowing and defining in every conversation. But you got to, you know, you just take in and you really understand. But then we need to quickly and succinctly learn how to communicate to others. And that's the challenge. I feel the great hearts in this room. Now, can we take that great heart and really say it well so that it's making people thirsty to hear more? Let's make people thirsty. Amen. Amen.
Mike. Let me switch you out there. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Paul, very much. I want to give you a couple of key phrases in here that you want to pay attention to, okay? Number one is, well, before I say that, let me say this. Mission statements are for donors or potential donors. A client who's pregnant needs to come in and go, what's your mission statement? Okay? Here, there's two key things that a client wants to hear from a website, from anything else. They want to hear, we are women helping women. That's the number one thing that a woman wants to hear. No offense, guys in the room. They want to hear, we are women helping women. And they want to hear this phrase, know your options. Now we want to, of course, convince them the right option. You know that. I hope there's no question about that in the room. I'm not here to try to convince you today that abortion is wrong. Okay? As some of you fail at your banquets, because that's what you try to do at your banquets. Okay? There's one reason for a website. What's the one reason for a website? Somebody tell me what it is. Get them in the door. But most of us spend half our time on our website convincing them that abortion's bad. The only thing your website is to get them to do. In fact, we've heard other teachings, and you go to other seminars that'll tell you, if you spend more than 3 minutes on the phone with someone, they are less likely to come in than they are not to. So why is it that we can put 60 minutes of material on our website and think it would be any different? I tell people, we work with them all over. I'll be glad to send you this book right here called Make Your Website Successful, 3 Simple Changes You Can to Triple Your Client Calls. You don't need one website. You need 4 websites. You needed a website for an abortion-minded client, abortion-vulnerable client, a client in need. You need 3 websites. And you need 1-page website. So now your cost is going from $2,500 to $12.50. I'm sorry, I'm going to lose a lot of business for friends out there who do website business, and they're friends of mine. But you don't need big websites. You need to be, when they click on the word abortion, you don't need to be one little ad in there that's going to come up, oh, we love Jesus and love God and praise the Lord for babies. We don't, because that's what Google found, some clip in there and pulled that out. You need to be 4 spots. You need to have Women Have Rights, Salem, Oregon. Who's that for? That's for the abortion-minded client. Okay? I got to be careful because we're talking. I know of one center right now, and they don't want this to be well known, okay? Tom, hold your ears here. I don't want to say anything wrong here. They are currently designing a website called Reverse Pregnancy Now. Why? It's because right across the bridge from them in another country to our north, which I'll let remain nameless, those of you who don't know which country is to our north. My wife is directionally challenged. She'd be on Google right now. A country to our north.
Well, there would be no geography.
Isn't that Maine? There's doctors, abortion doctors over there that are selling abortions as pregnancy reversal procedures. Well, they want to compete against people who are going over there for what they think is pregnancy reversal procedures. So what do? They bought a website, Reverse Pregnancy Now, and the name of their town. I'm not going to tell you where that is. Okay, we can talk privately. A lot of it's in this book right there. We'll give it to you free. All right? But what are we saying? Okay, so remember, your mission statement is only for a rapid way to talk to donors and potential donors. What was Jesus' mission statement? How in-depth did he get? He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Oh, he left a lot of stuff you could wonder about there, didn't he? I'll bet you all have at least 12 lines on your mission statement. You've got a lot more than Jesus does. But of course, we are more spiritual most of the time, remember? So anyway, sorry about that. Loving alternatives, that's a great word for those of us who are within the work. But the loving alternatives doesn't make sense to people outside of the pro-life circle. It's not a phrase that rings with them. Paul mentioned this and we mentioned this, denominational. Okay, you don't need to start a mission statement with the phrase, our mission is to. That's just three words that you added to the fun. Just, you know, Jesus didn't say, my mission is to be the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Okay? Yeah, please.
I'm going to give you three sites you can go to show you what we're talking about with the alternative one-page websites. This is from our center. You can go to TN Pregnancy Check. So that's TennesseePregnancyCheck.com. TN Pregnancy Check. Or TNPregnancyHelp.com. Or YourChoiceTN.com. Those are three examples of the sites that we're talking about. So TN Pregnancy Check, TN Pregnancy Help, or YourChoiceTN. Those are all .coms. So if you want to just to see some quick examples of what are you talking about, a one-page site that's client, you know, that's aimed at clients, not donors. It's just we want them to pick up the phone and call us.
My personal favorite is womenhaverights.com. Womenhaverights.com. I'm just going to tell you that. I'm sure they do a lot of things that are wrong on that site. Women helping women. Client doesn't care. Good. All right. Folks, shorten your statement. Make it for donors. You don't have to explain everything, but you want it to draw people in. Cover your basics. We all do a lot. We all give away diapers. You don't need to talk about that. In fact, let me tell you, if you want to discourage people from donating to you, sound like a welfare organization. Our world, our Christian conservative world, most of them who are Republicans, by the way, make sure that your testimony person isn't going to get up and in her testimony three times use the phrase those damn Republicans. Make sure of that, okay? That will hurt you. That will hurt you during the banquet, okay?
I couldn't help myself.
You were there. You were there.
I was frustrated that day.
Paul was there and heard it. Paul was there sitting right next to me. Okay? But remember, these folks are folks who are tired of all the welfare programs. So if you seem like another welfare program, why do they want to support you? Okay, we've got to be careful to say what we're going to say. Now normally here, we were set up for bathroom break, but can we just rock on? Can we rock on? If you have to go, go. Okay. The number two. Know your audience. That would be on a card. This is to have a card all of its own. Know your audience. Okay? We got the one card tells us what all five are. Know your mission, know your audience, know your specific message, know how to close, know how to find your audience. Okay? This is going to be a card separated number two. Know your audience. I always say if you ask the right questions, you'll get the right answers. How do we communicate? One of the reasons I had you figure out who we were and do this is because we communicate non-verbally. If I'm standing in front of you and you're talking and I do this, help me out here, and you do this. What am I saying? Okay. What about this? What about this one? And unfortunately, I have a torn rotator cuff, okay? I've had it for years. I have problems with it, okay? My only comfortable position for this hand is right here. I would love to talk to you today with my hand just like this right here. This would be great for me. Oh, I'm feeling good. Man, I can go. And I'm telling you, point number one and point number two and point number three, you know. But you would be annoyed by that, okay? And so, but, you know, I tend to put, my wife goes, don't do that. Don't do that. Here's another stance. The funeral director stance, you know. They say, communicators say that that means I know something that you don't know, and I'm a little bit more in the know. Yep. Yes. I know the fact that this guy laying out here isn't even wearing shoes. But he looks so good where he is. You know what? Thank you, Gordon. Thank you. And okay, so you've got that concept. We are communicating, but we need to know our audience. Let's ask those questions about our audience. Perception is everything. I'm gonna try to cram a couple of things in together here for shortness of time. I see the greatest failure in not knowing our audience when I see centers use videos. Okay? I love that you got it to 4 minutes. Get it to two. All right? I was pacing last night on television. Commercials. It used to be we had one-minute commercials. In fact, I was flying on an airplane the other day, and I was watching this particular show. I won't tell you what it was because you'd judge me. You'd go, that's not a Christian show, okay? Yeah, well, get over it, okay? I wasn't watching it for fun. I was doing research. I was researching how the world has gone. And Big Bang Theory is where I was researching it, okay? And on the airplane, they offer you the ability to watch the entire show with no commercials. It's 19 minutes long. Think about this. So out of a 30-minute show, 11 minutes is commercial. Also, how many commercials is that, Mike? 11 minutes, that's what? 22 commercials? No. They're going to 15-second commercials now. Because the commercial people have learned, why hit you once for 30 seconds if I can hit you twice for 15 seconds? I'm waiting for the day that it'll be 8-second commercials. 7.5 right there. Make sure the timing's right. It would just be a guy holding a product going, good. Okay? You know what? Okay? I tell you, and you say, no, it'll never happen. Well, why is it then when they flash 1 millisecond screen of popcorn on the movies, you remember when they did this research, that people got up and ate popcorn? Don't tell me it doesn't work. Shorter is better. In fact, when I see things too long, I start making a decision about it rather than hearing about it. Did you hear me? When I hear things too long, I begin to make a decision about it rather than hearing about it. I'll tell you what, I just talked to a center director. This is so wild. And you guys are going to, ladies are going to laugh about this when you hear this stuff. Okay. Who, after a program, she showed the video and one of her elderly ladies in the room came up and said she did not like the movie. Why didn't you like the movie, the video, the testimony? And always use video testimonies because if you use live testimonies, you get those phrases that you don't want in them, okay? The girl had her bra strap showing. First of all, that's popular now, okay? Okay, you know, just glad she was wearing one. That's what I said. You know, okay, that's, you know, our work is in the Dominican Republic, okay? We're just, you know, thank you. But she has to understand, she didn't understand her audience. And you go, well, that lady needs to just straighten up. What if I told you that lady gives $10,000 every year? Does she need to straighten up or do we need to fix a bra strap? Fix a bra strap. You watch your video. You make sure. Differing opinions. I remember I was up in your neck of the woods. And the young lady got up and gave her testimony. And at the end of her testimony, she says, by the way, she did a great job on her testimony. And she said, by the way, if anybody in here is a lawyer, I need to talk to a lawyer because I got to get a divorce from my old man. He's horrible. I don't remember what she talked about. But I remember what the perception was of the audience. Now, I'm looking around here real quick, make sure I don't offend anybody. But I'm just going to tell you, young people, you, the 20-somethings over there, and so, how old do you think I am?
I'm not saying my age.
No, play the game. Play the game. How old do you think I am? You did it with these guys. What do you think? Hang on. Let me do the walk for the guys. Thank you. Thank you very much. What do you think? Let's move on. We still are in an area where... 104. I'm 54. I'm 54. So thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to have to get some preparation H and put under my eyes tonight. Here's the deal. Our audience, our donors, come from all these demographics. You young people, you utes, as my dad used to call them. Get rid of your nose ring. I'm telling you that older people look at nose rings as being, you must not be business. Because for older generation, business comes business. We dress business. My wife said, remind them about the formals. I said, what's that? She goes, don't come to a banquet because it's a formal banquet. You do a gala. Sometimes we'll do galas. You know, what is a gala? That's a banquet, you know, in an expensive place. Okay? You, as a director, as a representative, don't you come with a formal plunge neckline. No. You stay business. Let me ask you a question. Hillary Clinton, okay? I'm not going to do politics. You know, as Taylor says, I know nothing about politics. And the only thing I know about politics is it's taken from two words. Poly, which means many, and ticks, which are blood-sucking creatures. Okay? So, not going to talk about any of them, okay? You ever see, Hillary goes to those swank thing. You ever see her out of her business suit? You ever see her sporting a gown with a slit up the side and the front down the front? No. Why? You think she's an idiot? She is not, my friends. She's very smart. She stays to her message. They might be having a gala. You're having a business meeting. You remember what you're doing. And ladies, you got to know this. I wish I asked Teresa to come. She couldn't come. I asked her to come and say this because I'm a guy. Okay. But you ladies know you all have a length that you think the neckline should go to. And once it gets beyond it, and each one of your lengths is different. But when it gets beyond your length, then she's just being a vixen. Okay. Don't give them. You put it up to where you think the most conservative person is and then bring it up an inch higher. Okay, you know what I mean. You want to look one. You want to look a chrome bumper shy of Mennonite. You know what I'm saying? That's. Because we need to know our audience. I have a dear friend. She's one of the top real estate salesmen in Lakeland, Florida. She drives an Acura. Acura is a very nice car, very expensive car. And she chided me because of the vehicle that I drove. And I said, you could drive that vehicle too. And she said, I could, but people would think I made too much money. Now, you're wondering what it is. It's a Prius, like everybody picked for all of you. No, it's a Mercedes, okay? But people have perception. They do. Right, wrong, or indifferent. Now, I know Christians don't judge, but other people... Aren't we the worst? I got to be honest with you. Where's my people from New York? Is there somebody here from New York? Where are you from New York? Okay, hey, forget about it, okay? Just for a second. You know, I'm just saying, now you don't really have the New York accent that I'm talking about, hey, okay? But I'll tell you, when I hear this accent, I don't think brilliant. I don't go, I bet that guy's got a...